Flash back to Twin Cities. Tom Osmond here on KLBB Club 1220 for the next hour on a bright, sunny, peaceful
beautiful
March Saturday afternoon. I saw Pavement.
I know, it's the weirdest thing.
I didn't, the brakes didn't shift. I didn't spin today. It's the small things in life I ask for now.
And hopefully it stays this way for a little while.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath too long. We got a great show today. We have Turi Ryder. And Turi is a name I'm sure many of our talk radio consumers recall. She came to 1500 in 1991, spent 3 years here, and she has been on talk radio stations in Chicago and out west since then. She can be heard every Sunday on America Weekend, AmericaWeekend.com. And Turi, are you on with us?
I am.
Thank you for being on Flashback Twin Cities. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you for inviting me. I was honored.
Well, Turi, I have to take a little personal note here. I recall back in 1991, and if you recall 1991, AM radio outside of a very dominant male personality that kind of revived talk radio, as the insiders say, it was a very dull medium. It was some news, some weather, and some very happy chat. A recipe was shared. And 1500 decided to take things in different directions. They brought in Barbara Carlson. They brought back Don Vogel. And then they brought you here to the market.
Well, and don't forget Bob Yates, too.
And Bob Yates, Bob's Radio Basics. And Turi, right. you came in, you brought a very different approach because you were a young woman with some contrasting opinions to some of the comfortable good Norwegian German Minnesotans here.
That is so diplomatic of you, Tom.
He's good at that, isn't he?
You don't want me to hang up and go away, do you? Don't worry. You can say anything you want about my show. I will not take it personally.
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, no, I have to hang up now.
I'm sorry.
For those who don't know, that was my... May I explain the one more thing rule?
Please.
Well, actually, with an old boss of mine who explained to me, he's unlike many people on the air, he's actually gone on to be a hugely successful manager in the business. But when he was training me, he said, you know, callers are a little bit like records. They come around again, and people will say what they called to say, and then because they don't want to just stop talking because they don't want to be rude, they'll just sort of repeat what their point was again and again. And so I paid attention to that, and my goal was to make the callers, you know, have their best material so they would look great on the air. But when people would add the phrase, one more thing, I found that that was sort of when they were just about to go around again or else veer off in some peculiar direction that might not have served them well. So we had a rule. We had a few rules, as you probably remember. And my service to them was the minute they said one more thing, they were gone. So that's the long explanation of that little joke there.
Well, I recall someone actually taking issue with that, and they actually said that, then you hung up on them. They didn't even get their question up because they had an issue with that particular procedure on your show.
You got to have your rule. Got to have it.
Well, you know, I think I'm a little more flexible now that I'm a mother and have added several decades between my time at KSTP and now when you're speaking to me. But, yeah, in general, I still think that's true.
Do you remember your first moments here in the Twin Cities? You had been in Chicago, and you had done WLS AM radio, if I know my history correct. And WLS was then transitioned from music to talk also, like many stations here in Minnesota were. And you came here. What did they tell you to do here? They tell you to do a free-form talk show and be outrageous. And I pulled up some promos that they had promoted you with. And you know what? I'm even a little bit frightened to air them here on KLBB because there's some
– Sorry.
Well, you know
– I don't know what they said about me. But I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, by all means, please.
I don't know what they said about me before I came. I had my previous talk radio gig was in Portland, Oregon, and I was reading back before I came to do your show here at KLBB, and I saw some of the print commentary about my show once I arrived. And to be fair, it was very clear that people simply did not know what to make of me, and they were trying their best to be nice. And then some writers would just give it all up and just go for me. And then some of them would be like, well, she's terrible, but people seem to be listening to her, and they just didn't know what to do. So I don't know what they said about me before I came. And management, to answer your question directly, which at that point was Ginny Hubbard Morris, who still runs Hubbard Radio, which is huge now and was no small potatoes in the Twin Cities and in Minnesota even then. But Ginny sort of knew what I did, and she wanted to wake things up a little bit and do something different. And so she said, well, just come and do what you do, and we'll see how it goes. And she was great about all the trouble I brought her, and I brought her trouble in spades. And just to be clear about the schizophrenia of the media reception of me, I believe in the same six-month period, I was awarded both the one of the best of the Twin Cities and worst of the Twin Cities awards. And it may have been the same publication, if memory serves.
That happens quite frequently. The best rock DJ and the worst rock DJ, all in the same publication. I think the Reader and City Pages are notorious for that.
Well, there you go. So you're familiar with the phenomenon.
I all too well, and I actually have a couple promos I want to play here, and I'll play them until the FCC gives us a call here. So I'm just going to play these, and here we go.
Okay.
I need a cough drop. Damn it.
Okay. Oh, there.
Late at night, Turi Ryder dreams of being a business mogul.
I like you. I like your talent. I'm going to pay you a lot of money so I can screw you.
She sees herself as Joan Collins.
All my life, I wanted magic mountains just like hers.
But when Turi wakes up, it all vanishes.
Right.
But that's okay, because we let Turi be difficult on the radio.
Of course, it's mandatory.
Right. Turi Ryder, weekdays at 4 on KSTP. A woman who belongs on the set of Dynasty.
More and more all the time, according to Peter Thiel.
There you go.
Would you like to hear some backstory on those?
Please.
Well, first of all, the voice that you hear, whom you still hear in the Twin Cities, may sound extremely familiar to you if you turn on your TV or ever go to the movies. That is Ben Patrick Johnson. He is, and you stop me if everybody knows this, he's a Minnesota boy, and he went on to be one of those bazillion-dollar voices in the Hollywood Hills who does movie trailers and commercials, and mostly you'll know him when in a world he became that, and he is a very 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 dear friend of mine. And the way that came to pass was through that type of promo that you just heard. Do you remember the big blizzard of what was it?
1991.
There you go. Yep. Okay, so the huge Halloween, it was like a Halloween blizzard. Remember this thing?
Yes.
And nobody could get to work. And the station at the time was not straddling Minneapolis-St. Paul right there on University Avenue. It was out in Maplewood in the middle of a swamp.
That's right.
And it was very difficult to get to the studio. And I had the ultimate stupid car for Minnesota winter. I heard you mentioning that you could see pavement today. We're now in Chicago, and my husband bragged to the kids that he could actually stop the mommy van today. Look at this! I can stop, boys! Look at this! So, obviously, with a little low-to-the-ground sporty car, I would have just looked like something out of the Russian ballet trying to get to work if I could have gotten out of my garage at all. So Ginny sent some kind of four-wheel drive thing for me that somebody had, and they drove me to the station, and there was nobody there. There was me and Ginny. We called her Royal Highness at the time, and there was pretty much nobody else. I think one board operator who'd been there without food or water for 6 days. Not quite, but almost. I think he was reduced to catching vermin in the basement of the transmitter site, and we had an assortment, and everybody hunted. So, you know, you could always find something in the Maplewood vicinity to eat and wear. Anyway, this tape, this old reel-to-reel tape, I don't know if people know what a reel-to-reel tape is.
Well, we do here.
Okay, so, you know, it looked like, how do you describe a reel-to-reel? Like you imagine the old movie theater projectors,
yep.
Smaller.
Yep.
Right? Big circle on one side, big circle on the other side. And that was the state of the art for actual radio production in those days. And what consumers used was cassettes, which people may also know. If you don't remember those, then go look it up on Google Image.
Our producer's pointing out to several of them in our studio right here. He's actually doing the Vanna White
point. Wave them in front of the microphone. Maybe people will get an idea.
We have a big old reel-to-reel literally 3 feet away from me.
Oh, I wish I had that right here in my studio. I keep saying I'm going to get one on eBay, and then there's always something else I get besides. You know how that's the eBay phenomenon. You go looking for thing one, and then you end up with thing six. Anyway, so this tape came, and it wasn't the usual consumer format. It was professional format, and it came. I still have the note somewhere saying, I love your show. I made this as a present for you, as a tribute to what you do. And I had stuck it in my desk because I was busy. So it was the blizzard. There was nothing to do. The papers couldn't even be delivered. So I stuck the thing on a tape machine in the production studio, And that beautiful voice that you just heard, I heard a promotional commercial, like what you just played, made out of pieces of my show with this amazing voice and this obviously talented editor, because really I'm not that funny all the time. It took Ben to make me look that interesting. And I called Ginny in and I said, listen to this guy. And she looked at me and I looked at her and we both said, we got to hire him.
Yeah, where is this man?
Pardon me?
Yeah, where is he? Where was he?
He was, I believe, at the Cities. Remember, the Cities 97, 98, whatever that
yes.
frequency was. And he may have actually been recently sacked from there. I don't even remember. We could get him on the phone. He's probably around and ask him. But he was underemployed. So we made him the creative personality at KSTP. And then a friend of mine who was a production director at KABC was leaving, so we arranged for him to get that job. And I believe he still does imaging for KSTP just for sentimental reasons, because at this point, you know, you'd pretty much have to hawk the whole station to afford him at his usual rate. And may I also say, and you might want to have him on sometime, he's fabulously interesting. One of the things that he does a lot and is very proud of is he does a lot of volunteering for the It Gets Better Foundation. He's a beautiful, out, gay, proud man, and it wasn't easy to be that in the Twin Cities and he really, really embraced the cause of making it okay for people to be themselves, and still does. Even though he makes $1 billion and doesn't have to do anything for anybody, he really takes time with aspiring talent and just kids who feel like they're alone in the world. So that's a very long answer to your question, but that's the guy on the promos.
No, I think we'll have to have him on the show. In fact, and you bring up a good point, because if you think about even Minnesota as a we pride on being a very progressive place. 1991, I mean, that was the age of conservative radio. That was really it was being born. It was the Clinton era. Things were swelling, and the anger swelled. A lot of Rush Limbaugh wannabes. And you came in right at the time as a non-conservative radio host with a big block of drive time. That had been a little challenging.
Well, when you have a job to do, and it doesn't matter what job you do, really. You could be opening a restaurant, you could be working in your shoe store, and you have to have an eye on what the competition is doing, obviously. But in the end, especially if the work you do is creative in any way, all you can really do is, and so trite, but it's really true, you really have to be yourself. There were a lot of people who wanted to be Rush V2 or V3, that would never work for me. But even I fell a little bit into that trap, because, in truth, I'm interested in politics. I'm political, but I have been asked at times to do more political shows than I'm naturally inclined to do. And I probably went down that road in my own way, whereas the kind of radio I do now is much more, I would hope, the kind of thing that you and I might sit down and talk about in the course of a conversation over a cup of... Has the coffee in Minnesota improved at all? I think so. Really good Minnesota coffee.
Are you doing the radio you want to do now? You've had a long career, and are you doing the radio that you're running your own format, your own program? Are you enjoying it?
You seem to be asking me all the questions with the really long answers today.
He's good at that.
I don't, the America Weekend is not my baby exclusively. It belongs to a local Upper Midwest talent whom many Twin Cities broadcasters know by the name of Kipper McGee. Kipper's out of Wisconsin and ran a bunch of cities. And you'll, if broadcasting folk are listening, they'll know Kipper, and others will know that he used to run WLS in Chicago. And this is Kipper's answer to weekend programming that's not as exciting as what you're doing. You were really in the lucky position of creating things for the Twin Cities on the weekend. And in the Twin Cities, I will say this, even the shows that are boring in other cities are great in the Twin Cities. The fishing show is hilarious. The home show and the garden show, they're always really good. I mean, Soucheray and Royce started as the sports show. All those specialty shows in the Twin Cities, you can count yourselves lucky. They're really interesting people hosting them. But in a lot of other cities, those are a snooze fest. So America Weekend is kind of our way of helping those shows be more interesting, and I do part of that. But for myself, I've been occupied writing a book this past couple years. It's about done. You can hear a chapter of it on my website if you want to. It's called Half Off. And I do these minutes you can hear out of Duluth. They run them. They run on a lot of different stations, but I think the closest one to you is Duluth.
We like Duluth.
Pardon me?
We like Duluth.
Yeah, I like Duluth, too. Beautiful town. And let's see. So I do these short humor features, and I don't want to sound like a big old commercial for my website, so I'll just let you, you can spell my name, you can find them. And then I have been doing some talk radio. I have a studio at my house, which is, that's a thing that's really changed since I was in the Twin Cities. It used to be you had to be wherever the station was in order to do live talk radio. But now there are all kinds of ways that you can do live talk radio from your closet, basically, if you want to. So I do a lot of different stations, and officially I'm still part of the WGN Chicago family. So do I do everything I want to do? Not as much as I'd like to do, but I think that one of the things that I don't usually talk about that's been a huge part of the enjoyment of life, and all of my listeners in the Twin Cities said that it would happen, and I said that they were wrong. And you, if you were one of my listeners when I was at KSTP, you were right, right, right. I like being a mommy, and I like most of the time, like at least once a day I want to kill him, but I mostly like being a spouse. And I met my husband in the Twin Cities, so you see there's another great thing that happened in the Twin Cities.
And now, have you gone back to the State Fair yet? Because I know that was one of your favorite things to do in Minnesota was the State Fair.
It's funny. It's that old bluegrass song, How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away? You know that song?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the State F word, as
That's
I
right.
affectionately called it, the State F word was an amazing phenomenon to do as a talk show host. Because, do you want the good parts first or the bad parts first?
We want both. Let's start with the good first.
Okay. The good part is you really got to meet all of your listeners because everybody came to the State F Word. And people would make a point of sticking around and saying hi and letting you know how they listened to the station and where they listened to it. And I still remember one guy who said, he was a farmer and his cows really gave more milk if I was on. And I just thought that was the best compliment ever. And so that was the best thing about it. And the hardest thing about it, although it's much better now, when you go to the State F Word now and you see the big KSTP booth, it's beautiful, right?
Oh yeah. It's very modern. It's glass. It's looks like a 21st century radio studio now.
Right. Well, when we started, it was a glorified ice fishing house. And most reputable ice fisher people would have been embarrassed to say it was theirs. It was like something out of a comic strip of a ice fishing house. It was a little askew and parts fell off of it, and the air conditioner would go on and it would go wah, 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 and you'd have to turn the air conditioner off, which basically meant you were locked inside a car trunk for 3 hours. So I would just go out on the deck with a long microphone cord and do 3 hours of live improvised theater every day because I couldn't take it in there. So the other good thing I got was learning how to just perform live in front of an audience, some of whom were glad to be there. Some of them would probably have rather thrown things at me, but they were way too polite. And some of them just absolutely had never heard of me and didn't know what to make of me. The downside was all that stuff that I've mentioned, plus you get no anonymity after that since everybody has seen you. And the two examples of that were I lived in one of those converted warehouses right by the river in St. Paul opposite the farmer's market.
Right.
So if I wanted to scoot out of bed and just buy a loaf of bread and some produce to cook, and I just kind of threw on any old thing and no makeup and stuck my hair up under a hat, it never failed. Tony Ryder! Like, oh, my goodness. And you'd want to be crawling under the table where they had the zucchini. And then the other thing was, just when you thought really nobody could recognize you, I used to swim over at the Y in downtown St. Paul.
Oh, yes.
And I was over there one day, and I had my my goggles and my suit and my cap, and who would know what that? And I swam my laps, and the next day somebody called the show and said, "You were so polite. I asked if you would share the lane, and you said no problem." And I just thought, how did you recognize? I can barely recognize my own kids half the time. How people do that?
Well, and also, I know you really enjoy your picture being posted places. So it's not as if that your face was on billboards across the city.
No, I still do not.
You have a beautiful picture here on SheBopsProductions.com. You can see a...
It helps to have friends who are really good photographers with really great Photoshop skills.
Well, it's a beautiful picture. I'm glad that you're sharing your face with us, because it is a beautiful face, and I'm happy to see it here.
Thank you. It's I'm getting up there now, and so I do try, but I have a fund. I have the kids' college fund, I have the kids' therapy fund, and then I have the waddlectomy fund, which someday I'll need.
I have to ask you a question. I have a listener sent me a message. They said, yeah. did Turi really not get along with, and I'll just say, the main TV meteorologist of Channel 5?
No, I really liked him. And you know who I really loved was Mark Sapalsa, who worked with me. There were a couple, Her Royal Highness and I got into it about this, because when I first came, she thought it would be really great to have the TV people do the news for radio. And I said, in the main, the TV people will regard that as slumming, and they don't really love radio, and they don't really want to be on the radio, and they're not really going to do their homework for radio, and so it's going to be miserable for everyone concerned. And it was really embarrassing, because when you have a solid news person, male or female, I'm going to use news guy interchangeably here, and you ask them a question about a story, they can go back in that story and tell you more about it. A lot of TV people, not all, but many in this day and age, and even then, were pretty and read well and, didn't mispronounce things usually, but they weren't really, really all that interested in the news. And there were exceptions, and when you found one, you just were so happy and so grateful. Mark Sapalsa was one of those. The TV weather person you're thinking of was also really, fun, and I was a little bit meaner to him than perhaps I should have been. But I didn't dislike him. He was very, very sweet.
But it makes great radio.
Nice person. Pardon?
It makes great radio, though. Those conflicts. We love it.
Well, I have to say I pick my battles more carefully now. More carefully. But I do love and respect any news person who really loves news and knows news. That's a gift to any personality on the air.
And I missed, before we let you go here, and again, I appreciate the time today, when you came back to fill in for Mishki for a while back in about 1999, I remember one of the media critics who might have written about you the first time around said, Turi is now more mellow and mature now. Was that true, or is that just a facade?
I think it's universally true with the decades that I've been doing this, that when you feel less secure, at least I could say for myself, when I feel less secure, I tend to amp up the volume on most things. And I think that one of the benefits, and I think you would probably have see this in your, if you looked at your own career, one of the benefits of really knowing what you are good at and not so good at and how to do what you want to do is that you don't have to be, as they would say in Spinal Tap, you don't have to set yourself on 11 all the time. So maybe that's true. It could be true. That would be something for you, the listener, to decide rather than for me to decide. And so may I just take that as a compliment and say thank you.
Turi, it is great talking to you. I called into your show many years ago. I listened to your show, and it's great being able to actually talk to you on my show now. So
thank you. I've had fun listening to your show. I mean, since I found out I was going to do this, I've been all over listening to the things that you do, and they're great fun.
Well, I appreciate that. And by the way, are you enjoying being back in the Midwest now? You were in California. Now you decided you liked shoveling and you liked driving the mom van through snowstorms.
I was always a child in the Midwest, and the minute I left, I'm going into your break here. Do you want me to hold on, or do you have a guest coming up?
Go for it.
Okay, so the thing about it is, when I first left Chicago, which was 1986, there was no way that there was ever going to be an opportunity for a woman to get off the overnight shift doing what I was. There was just no way. So I had to sort of go out in the world and be elsewhere before I could come back. But the minute I left the Midwest, those doors at like the zoo and amusement parks that are like cheese graters, you go out, you can't get back in. You know, those little grill doors. The minute I left the Midwest, I was like, oh no, I'm never going to get back here again. And I loved being at KSTP, and it was a wonderful time. And then I had to leave again. And this time back, I came back for WGN and also, for my parents who are getting older, and I want to be helpful. So I just told the kids, learn to shovel.
You know, it's a good skill every kid should know. You become much more durable, I think, to know how to shovel.
Yeah.
Know how to push a cart.
I'm about ready to send them out to make a living shoveling, you know, because times are tough.
You know what? It might be the only job left, right?
Terry,
pleasure talking to you. Let's do it again sometime.
Anytime. Thank you.
SheBobsProductions.com. Learn more about Terry and her show, America Weekend, and her book. Terry Ryder, thank you for being on Flashback Twin Cities.
Thank you.
Flashback Twin Cities. We'll be back next week here on KLWB AM 1220. So long.